Tonight we are continuing our study of the fruit of the Spirit and invite you to look in your Bibles at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We'll be looking at several passages tonight, but we'll begin in Galatians chapter 5. In my study of the fruit of the Spirit, one author, Jerry Bridges, made a very good point that I thought was very good in helping us understand how the fruit of the Spirit fits together, how they work together. He gave the example of a single garment that is crafted from threads of varying colors and shades. As just to the casual observer, if you were to stand back and look at that garment or that fabric, to you it would look like one color. You would just see the overall effect. But to the person who is constructing or who is making that fabric, when you look at it up close, every thread, there are various colors that are woven together, and each thread is intentionally placed in a pattern to create the overall effect. In a way, that kind of illustrates what the fruit of the Spirit is like in our lives. When all of these traits of Christ's likeness come together, they create an overall effect in our lives that is visible by those around us. And someone who is exhibiting the character of Christ, someone who is exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, you can see it. You can just sense it. You see the overall effect. You might not stop and say, well, there's patience in that person's life, or there's joy, or there's peace. You might not really stop and think about the individual components, but you know that their lives portray the character of Christ. And I think that's a really good example of how the world, how others should see us as portraying the fruit of the Spirit, as living the character of Christ. And it's also a good illustration of how all of these traits that we're looking at fit together and are interrelated. And even tonight, as we look at the fruit of patience, we're going to see that you really can't have patience in isolation from the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. They all work together in harmony to create Christ's likeness in our lives. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. And that's our word for tonight, forbearance. Most translations translate it as patience. The NIV has forbearance, and we'll see why that is in just a few moments. But the fruit of the Spirit is forbearance and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so this is, for Paul, a description of spiritual qualities that should be exhibited in the life of a true believer of Christ. And I've said before that these are representative qualities. There are others that we could probably add to this list, like humility or forgiveness, things that Paul states in other passages. This is a representative list that portrays the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. And tonight we're going to be looking at the fruit of patience. And the word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22 is a word that is used in different ways in the Bible. And if you think about it, the words that we use have different connotations depending on what context you find them in. Well, the same thing is true of this particular Greek word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22. Depending on the context where this word is found, it can have various shades of meaning. And what I want to do is I want to look at two of the primary ways that this word is used in the New Testament. But first, what I want to do is I want to remind us that our patience as Christians must be patterned after the patience of God. That's really what we're after in seeking after the fruit of the Spirit and seeking to display these qualities in our lives. We're not after these things as an end in themselves. We're not after them for any kind of prideful way in and of ourselves. Really what we desire is we desire to be like Christ. We desire to be like our Savior, to be like God, and to exhibit His qualities in our own lives. And so our patience must be patterned after the patience of God. We learn about God's character in one text in the Old Testament that is a text that illustrates what we're talking about here with this word patience. It's in Exodus 34, verse 6. You know, the context is when Moses desires to see God. He says, God, I want to see your glory. And God says to Moses, you can't see my face. Nobody can see my face and live. And so what God does is he puts Moses in a cave or like the cleft of a rock, and God passes over him, and his glory comes over him, and he allows Moses to see a portion, like a diminished, kind of in the text that says his back parts, as if, you know, God doesn't really have a body, but it's intended to communicate a small, finite, limited display of God's glory that a human being could handle. And so he shows it to Moses, and as he is revealing himself to Moses, revealing his glory, we have in Exodus 34, 6, one of the clearest and most repeated descriptions of the character of God in all the Bible. If you look at this phrase in Exodus 34, 6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. If you search that phrase, you'll find it repeated times throughout the Old Testament. This is the first time it appears when he reveals himself to Moses. And then from that point forward, it becomes like the standard way of referring to who God is in his character. He is a God who is loving. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And a part of his character is slow to anger. He is patient. The word that when the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek, the word that the Greek translators chose to use here for slow to anger is the word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22 for patience. And the idea here is to bear, to endure for a long period of time mistreatment, abuse, adversity, hostility, and to bear it with endurance and perseverance patiently. That's what God does. God endures the sinfulness, rebellion of humanity, and he is long-suffering toward that. He is long-suffering toward the hostility that God receives from sinful human beings. He is patient and slow to anger toward those who are offending him. That is God's character. He is slow to anger. One of the most powerful examples in the scriptures of this trait that we're thinking about tonight is in Matthew chapter 18. This is a parable that we're all familiar with. In Matthew 18, I'm going to read this parable and just draw a couple of points from it. Matthew 18, Jesus tells a parable and he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owned him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Just to kind of convert that into our day, it's an unimaginable amount of money. It would be $1 million. Just a huge, huge amount of money. And so this man owes this king, this lord, this master, he owes him really an unrepayable amount of money. A huge debt. And so verse 25 says, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold into slavery to repay the debt. But verse 26 says, at this the servant fell on his knees before him. And notice his request. Be patient with me, he begged. Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. And notice the response of the king. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. How was this master's patience exhibited? It was exhibited in forbearance and in forgiveness. And so the patience was exhibited in bearing for a long time this debt and the servant's inability to repay it. And then in the end, his patience was exhibited in forgiving, just canceling the debt. But then the parable continues in verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Now, you don't even have to do the conversion, right? 10,000 bags of gold, which is worth more, gold or silver? Gold is worth more. 10,000 bags of gold, and this master said, you're forgiven. Your debt is canceled. But now that person whose debt was just canceled, he goes out and finds one of his peers, one of his fellow men, and says, hey, you owe me 100 pieces of silver. He grabbed him and he choked him, it says, and he said, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, same words, be patient with me, and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In this parable, the master is God. God has mercy on us. God is patient toward us. He's patient with our unpayable amount of sin debt. He is patient toward us. And not only is he patient toward us, but then he just cancels the debt. He forgives what we owe him. But the lesson of the parable is that we then ought to exhibit that character of God in our lives. And in his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers, this one who was unwilling to forgive the little bit of money that was owed to him. When the master found out about it, he had him thrown in jail and tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And Jesus gives the lesson in verse 35. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Excuse me. Each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And so the lesson is, we need to exhibit the character of God. The character of God in his long-suffering patience, exemplified in forbearance. Forbearance to those who have mistreated us. Forbearance to those who owe us something. Forbearance to those who have provoked us in some way. And forgiveness. That's God's character. And we are seeking to be like God. We want to be like our long-suffering, patient God. Peter tells us in the book of 2 Peter that God is characterized by long-suffering patience. He uses the example of the flood, and he says the whole time before the flood that Noah was building the ark, God waited patiently with long-suffering, Peter says, that whole time. He endured the sinfulness of people. He endured their rebelling against him the whole time that was going on. He was long-suffering. He was slow to anger. And then he also says, Peter says in 2 Peter 3, that even right now, God is being patient with us, giving opportunity for repentance. Why has Jesus Christ not come back yet? Why has the second coming not happened? Because God is patient. He's long-suffering. And he's giving opportunity for repentance. If you think about it, if anyone has the right to exact swift justice, it is God. If anyone has the right to demand retribution for wrongs that have been committed, it is God. And yet, he is the one who is slow to anger. He is patient. God has every right to judge quickly and speedily, but he doesn't because he's a patient God. And that's who we're trying to emulate. We want to be like our Father. But if you think about it, think about how impatient we are as people. We're incapable of waiting on anything. We have to have everything now. We're incapable of enduring any trial or misfortune. We're incapable of enduring any injustice or mistreatment. We're incapable of waiting on anything. We want things now. If we're mistreated, we want justice now. We want things fixed now. And yet God is patient. God is long-suffering. And so God is our example. And so Our patience needs to be patterned after our patient God, who is long-suffering. Now what I want to do is I want to give us two ways that I think Paul is using the idea of patience in Galatians 5:22. One way has to do with displaying our patience in the midst of the circumstances of life, and the second has to do with displaying our patience in relationship to other people. And so let's talk about first the displaying our patience in the midst of the circumstances of life. And if you think about it, sometimes those things go hand in hand. Sometimes those two things are related. The circumstances of life and our relationships with people, sometimes those two things can mix. And sometimes people bring on the circumstances of life that are hard to be patient with. But for a moment, I want us to just think about the circumstances, adversity, things that happen to us in our lives. And in two ways, I want us to think about patience. First of all, we need to be patient through adversity. Patient through adversity. Oftentimes in the Bible, patience is used in the context of adversity, difficult things that are happening. Sometimes the idea of perseverance or endurance is the idea behind this word when it's in that context. And so the question is, how will we respond to the circumstances of life that try us? Will we endure those with patience, or will we fold underneath the pressure? Sometimes the adverse circumstances of life are brought on by other people, but the test comes not in how we respond to the person, but how we respond to the difficulty. In other words, there may be a person way up the chain somewhere that causes difficulty for us, but that person is somewhat removed from the circumstance. And it's the circumstance, it's the adversity that is right in front of us. And the question is, how are we going to respond to that situation? As an illustration of that, think about maybe a boss. Maybe you work for a company and there's a boss way up, CEO somewhere. And this person makes a decision regarding the whole company that trickles down and affects your job. It adversely affects your job. It's going to make your job more difficult. It's going to make your life more complex, harder. Well, you don't really know this boss. You really don't know this CEO. You don't really have a personal relationship with this person. And so your primary problem at that moment is not with the person. Your primary problem at that moment is with the circumstance that is facing you at that moment. And so what am I going to do with this difficulty? What am I going to do with this pressure? What am I going to do with this new situation that has developed? Am I going to respond with irritation, with anger, with frustration, or am I going to respond with calmness, patience, gentleness in the midst of that situation? Sometimes the circumstances that we face in life are allowed by God to test us, or sometimes to chasten us. So how will we respond in those situations? Jesus is our example in this. Notice how Jesus responded. When trials came to Jesus that he did not deserve, how did Jesus respond? Did he respond with anger? Did he respond with retaliation? No. When Jesus was ridiculed, when Jesus was despised, when he was rejected, when he was beaten, he did not respond in kind. Instead, he patiently endured it. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus endured. That idea of endurance, of perseverance. Jesus endured the cross, endured the shame, the suffering of the cross for the joy that was set before him. And so Jesus is our great high priest. He lived among us as one of us. He understands our adversities because he went through those adversities. And so Jesus knows the things that we're going through, and he is our perfect model in how to deal with adversity. And so we need to learn how to be patient in the midst of difficult circumstances of life. And we also need to learn how to be patient when we're waiting on God. Sometimes we want God to act now, but our timing is not God's timing. Maybe we're praying for a friend who needs to be healed. Maybe we're praying for a family member, a friend who needs to come to Christ. Maybe like the Apostle John, we're longing for the return of Jesus. We want Jesus to come back. Maybe there are some things that we're waiting on God for, and there's the temptation to become impatient in the midst of those circumstances. We want things to happen now. In those situations, we need to remember what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so in the midst of the adverse circumstances of life, when we're waiting on God's timing for things, when we're trying to endure with perseverance through a challenging situation, we need patience. We need the Holy Spirit to do His work in our hearts and bring this to bear in our lives. But there's another way that I think patience is used in the New Testament. And I think probably this is primarily how Paul intends it in Galatians 5:22. And that is, we must display our patience in our relationships with other people. Display our patience in relationships with other people. The reason I think this is probably primarily what Paul has in mind is because so many of these other fruits of the Spirit are relational in quality. Love, peace, the ability to have relationships of peace with other people, gentleness, brotherly kindness. A lot of these are relational traits that are put into action in our relationships with other people. And I think that's probably what he means here by the idea of patience as well. And that's why I think the NIV translates it with forbearance. Because in the context, it has the idea of bearing up under the difficulties that we face in relationships with other people. And there are three ways that I think we need to demonstrate patience or forbearance in our relationships with other people. And I want us to think about these three ways. We need to be patiently bearing the mistreatment of others. Patiently bearing the mistreatment of others. And basically, the idea here is someone may be intentionally mistreating you. Someone is intentionally doing you harm. How are we going to respond to that situation? Someone once said that patience is the ability to suffer a long time under the mistreatment of others without growing resentful and bitter. We need the Spirit for that, don't we? To go for a long time under the mistreatment of others without growing resentful and bitter, that can only happen by the presence of the Spirit in our lives. And so one example might be a difficult boss. Maybe you work for a boss who is harsh, demanding. Maybe you work for a boss who mistreats you because of your faith. Maybe you work for a boss who mistreats everyone that he works with. Maybe you're a student and you have to endure the unfair treatment of a teacher. Maybe you're a believing spouse and you have to endure the mistreatment of an unbelieving spouse. What if people defraud you? What if people cheat you out of what is rightfully yours? Maybe a company or someone that you hire to come and do work for you at your house, maybe they cheat you. They misrepresent their work and they defraud you. What's your response to these things? What's your response to a boss that harshly treats you? What's your response to a teacher who is unfair to you? What is your response to a friend who abandons you? What is your response to someone who defrauds you or cheats you? Our immediate response is to seek justice, isn't it? We want revenge. We want justice. We want things to be fixed right now. But what we need to do in that situation is display Christ's likeness by bearing up under that difficult relationship and display the character of Christ who, when he was reviled by people, when he was mistreated by people, when he was beaten and persecuted unjustly, he endured it with patience. Why did he do that? Because he trusted in his Father. He trusted in God. He trusted in the justice of God. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled their insults at him, that is at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. What gave Jesus the ability to endure unjust treatment at the hands of other people? What enabled him to patiently forbear in that situation? It was because he trusted in God. He trusted in his Father. He knew that one day all things would be made right. Jesus knew that he didn't have to, at that moment, call down 10,000 angels and say, take care of all these people that are afflicting me right now. He knew that wasn't God's plan, and he knew that one day God would make all things right. And so it wasn't that moment for him to take vengeance. Rather, he entrusted it to the care of his Father, who one day would judge justly. And so Paul reminds us in Romans 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Isn't it interesting? We talked about peace before, and now we're thinking about patience. These things are interrelated. Live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And so our reaction should not be, we want justice now. We want immediate revenge now. No, our response should be that of Christ and entrusting ourselves to our just God, who will make things right in his time. And so part of displaying the fruit of patience is bearing the mistreatment of others. Sometimes it may involve patiently bearing the provocation of others. What do I mean by that? Well, mistreatment is someone doing something to you. Someone doing something that is hurting you. Provocation may simply be someone who's trying to stir you up. Someone who's trying to get under your skin. Someone who's trying to provoke you to anger. Intentionally aggravating you or seeking to provoke you. Sometimes people will do this intentionally. Sometimes they'll do it to manipulate you, to get their way. Sometimes people will seek to get under your skin just to irritate you, to nag you, to light your fuse and see what happens. So sometimes we have to be slow to anger when people are trying to stir us up to anger, provoking us. And that can come from anywhere, can't it? That can come from above, maybe a superior who's trying to provoke you. It can come from a peer, a friend, a family member, but it can also come from underneath us as well. And here I'm talking to parents. Sometimes our kids can provoke us, right? Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally. Sometimes we can be provoked by people in all of our relationships of life. And how will we respond to those situations? James says that we should be slow to anger. We need to think long and hard about this, because this is where the patience of God is displayed toward us. Our sin and our rebellion have the potential to provoke God to anger at every moment, and he would be just in swiftly punishing us for our sin. But God displays patience toward us. He is slow to anger. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. And that's where Psalm 103 quotes Exodus 34. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's God's character. And so when we are provoked, when people are trying to stir us up to anger, we need to reflect the character of God, who is patient, who is slow to anger. Now, the last way that I think we need to display our patience toward other people is in patiently tolerating the shortcomings of others. Patiently tolerating the shortcomings of others. And I want to spend the rest of our time talking about this, because this is the one that I think we have to do the most. There may be some people in our lives that intentionally mistreat us. There may be some people in our lives that intentionally abuse us and seek to get the best of us. There may be some people in our lives that intentionally provoke us and seek to stir us up to anger. But most likely, most of the time in our lives, the situations in which we will need to have patience with other people is not when somebody's intentionally trying to do something to us, but when they're just being them, right? Maybe somebody has a certain personality type. Maybe somebody has a certain habit, a certain mannerism. They have certain things that they do, and it just gets under our skin. They don't do it intentionally. They're not trying to provoke us. They're just being imperfect people just like we are. And yet, sometimes we display impatience toward people when they're displaying those imperfections. And so how do we respond to the mistakes and the shortcomings of others? How do you respond? I'm going to get personal here. How do you respond when your child spills his milk all over the table and the floor? What's your reaction at that moment? What happens if you're watching an Alabama football game, fourth quarter, 10 seconds left, Alabama's driving, and somebody accidentally sits on the remote and changes the channel, and you miss the game-winning touchdown? What do you do at that moment? Is it anger, frustration, or is it patience? What do you do when someone doesn't show up at the time they said they were going to show up? What do you do when the driver in front of you is going way too slowly? Right? These are just everyday things in life, right? Things that happen every single day of our lives. How do we respond in those situations? Does our temperature start to rise and we start to get into a boil and get frustrated and show that frustration through anger, or do we forbear? Show patience in those situations. If you think about it, if we're impatient in this area and we're quick to anger at other people's shortcomings, really that's a matter of pride. Because what we're doing is we're expecting out of other people what we are not capable of ourselves. We are not perfect people. We make mistakes ourselves. And here I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just talking about mistakes that we make. Sometimes we're clumsy. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just do things that we don't think about. We make mistakes. We're not perfect people. And yet, when we display impatience toward others, we're expecting perfection from them that we ourselves don't have. It's a matter of pride. And so the proper response in those situations is to calmly and patiently tolerate the mistakes and the shortcomings of others. It's easy to get upset about them, right? It's easy to get upset in those situations, but the proper response is to overlook them and not let them become a source of contention or anger or cause a rupture in the relationship. And here's the thing. This becomes magnified under a magnifying glass the closer that the relationships are to you. Right? And so the closest relationships that you have, spouse, children, parents, brothers, sisters, people that you live with, people that you see every day, maybe close co-workers, people that you interact with every day, this is where this becomes most noticeable, because that's where you see more often and repeated instances of the shortcomings of other people. And those are the situations where we need patience. And so we need it in our homes. We need it in our families. We need it in our workplaces. We need it in the church, in the body of Christ, with people that we interact with here in the body of Christ. We need to display what Paul says in Ephesians 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. There's our word. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Do you see the relationship of the fruits of the Spirit? How can you be patient with someone without exhibiting humility? How can you be patient with someone without caring about that person in love? You can't. So that's why all these things fit together. They all work together. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice how many of the fruits of the Spirit we saw there. Love, peace, gentleness. Exhibit patience. And so it's easier to calmly and patiently tolerate the shortcomings and mistakes of others when you love them, when you genuinely care about them. Think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is, the very first thing he says about love is what? Patient. Love is patient. That's the very first description he gives when he's describing love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Notice the next thing he says. It is not easily angered, not easily frustrated, not easily provoked, not easily stirred up. Why? Because it's patient. Keeps no record of wrongs. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, when you love someone, you can overlook their faults. When you love someone, you are not provoked and stirred up to anger every time that they offend you, every time that they do something against you, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And so we're much more willing to tolerate the shortcomings of others when we love them as we love ourselves. I'm going to conclude with what Paul says in Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. And again, notice how many fruits of the Spirit are on display here. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember that parable? That's why I use that parable, because of this passage right here. Paul says, be patient. And then the very next thing he says is, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The lesson of that parable in that master and slave is that he forgave an incredible, unthinkable amount of debt, and he expected that servant to show the same compassion to his fellow man. And the lesson is clear. God has forgiven us an incredible, unthinkable debt, an infinite debt. And if we have been forgiven that, he expects us to forgive our fellow man, to forgive those who offend us. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And so in that passage, we have so many fruits of the Spirit: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, peace, and thankfulness. It all works together as a tapestry of grace, as a picture, as a portrait of what the Holy Spirit is producing in our hearts by His work of grace. And so, my prayer for us tonight is that we would live with patience with others so that we can have unity and peace in our families, in our workplaces, in our church. May we live at peace with one another. And in order to do that, we have to love them. We have to be humble toward them. We have to be patient with them. Patient with their shortcomings. Patient with their mistreatment. Bearing up under. And so the main idea tonight is that if we're going to be like our patient God, then we must patiently endure the difficult circumstances of life. And we must patiently bear the mistreatment, provocation, and shortcomings of others. How can we do that? By God's grace. Because what's our natural response when we are hurt, when we are offended, when we are mistreated? Our natural response is, I got to get him back. I got to get justice right now. I got to get revenge right now. It is only by the indwelling Spirit who is changing us from the inside out that we can, in that moment, display patience. And so when someone changes the channel at that moment, we display patience. And we watch the replay later. Right? We need an eternal perspective. In order to, that will help us, won't it? Won't an eternal perspective help us to display patience in moments when people mistreat us or when they display their shortcomings? If we have an eternal perspective, we will remember that this spilled milk on the carpet is not really that big of a deal. In eternity, it means nothing. This touchdown in eternity means nothing. This word that my friend said to me that they probably didn't really mean to say it, but it was hurtful, in an eternal perspective, means nothing. And so let's keep an eternal perspective by God's grace, and let us be patient people.